Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Thank you, and welcome back on board On the Mark. It's a Tuesday morning, the 14th of November, 2023. On the Mark brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. Our hotline number this morning is 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, but be sure to put OTM at the start of your message. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street in Sunbury and the Kia dealership is on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Find out more about them at www. Well, you don't even need that. They're so important. You know, just type in sunburymotors.com and they'll come up. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspection, nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. till 6 p.m., and on Saturday, 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, and Kia vehicles, and online you can check out their online specials or build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specifications. And remember, Sunbury Motor Company is a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks, including all sizes of trucks. They have a large truck shop, a parts department, a body shop, an alignment shop, and a repair garage for all types of vehicles. They're a master towing service with decades of experience. Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. And we have some unfinished business from yesterday. One of our correspondents, EB, says this morning, we do have a call pending. We'll get to that in just a moment. ABC News reporter Jonathan Carl has a new book about the Trump administration coming out today. One section was released yesterday. In it, he quotes an unnamed senior official in that administration who was, quote, at a very high level inside the West Wing, unquote, and, quote, very close to Donald Trump, unquote. That person said, and here's a quote from the book, he lacks any shred of human decency, humility, or caring. He is morally bankrupt, breathtakingly dishonest, lethally incompetent, and stunningly ignorant of virtually anything related to governing, history, geography, human events, or world affairs. He is a traitor and a malignancy in our nation and represents a clear and present danger to our democracy and the rule of law. When Trump's own people start talking about him like that, we should all listen, especially you, Dan. Make America great. That's in our EB letter. That's not me saying that. Especially you, Dan. Make America great again by keeping Trump out of office in 2024. That's sound by EB. He lacks any shred of human decency, humility, or caring. He is morally bankrupt, breathtakingly dishonest, lethally incompetent, and stunningly ignorant of virtually anything relating to governing, history, geography, human events, or world affairs. He's a traitor and a malignancy in our nation and represents a clear and present danger to our democracy and the rule of law. Why hold back? Just tell us what you really think. Stan, you're on the mark this morning.
And poor EB, she believes that claptrap, because I believe that was a quote from Mr. Kelly when he was a fired chief of staff. And a liar. So we'll leave it at that. So Mr. Kelly was no better, as he wants to quote, you know, say about Mr. Trump. My guess is he's projecting his own, you know, traitorous actions upon Trump. But
well,
whatever.
The book does.
EB can believe that. Well, no, I've heard that kind of stuff before, and some of it was from Kelly. Some of it was from who was the Secretary of Defense, the ex-Marine.
Oh, yeah, General.
yeah, you know what I mean.
I know who you mean.
Yeah,
you just asked me too quick.
Floating around for a long time. So, yeah, but that's because they've all been fired by him because they were disloyal and basically leaked stuff
but
about him.
But he's
so,
all
you know,
been, he hired them all too, remember, and told
yes,
us well, how great they were. He told us
and,
how great they were.
But do you think, Joe, that he hired him without some input from other people that he trusted or that he thought he could trust?
Well, if he's that...
Lance Priebus was the first secretary, chief of staff, and he was a traitor because he was a Rhino Republican, you know. So, yeah, it just, yeah, he made some bad choices about personnel in the beginning, but I think he learned his lesson. So.
Really? Toward the end, Kelly was not one of his earlier appointments.
Yeah, well, he didn't. He was booted then too. So, yeah, he made some bad personnel choices, and that's not to be denied. You know, so yeah, well, it'll all sort itself out. That's not why I called.
Okay, why did you call?
Why did I call? Did you notice how easy it is for the Democrats out there in California to clean up the streets when they want to?
Yeah, in San Francisco, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, they just snowplowed everybody off the streets, got rid of them, cleaned all the feces off the streets, the needles, got rid of the homeless. Where'd they put those homeless? What internment camp did they put them in? Where are they? And Newsom basically agreed, said, yeah, that's why we did it. We had to clean it up because we had high value visitors coming or something like that.
He probably put them up at the Mark Adams.
No. Those high dollar rooms are reserved for the illegals coming across.
Oh, okay.
The border.
Not for the just general riffraff here in America.
Right. Not for the American citizens that are homeless. You know, we have thousands upon thousands of vets that are homeless for whatever reason. Some are because of PTSD and drug addiction. Other ones because they just can't handle being out after they've been to war. For whatever reason, and then there's Americans out there that just, you know, as somebody I've heard says, they suck at life. You know, some of them because they had bad things happen to them and they couldn't handle it, or they just, you know, circumstances put them homeless. And then there's the drug addicted ones, but they're still American citizens. They are being treated worse than the illegals that come into our country illegally. They put them up in 5-star hotels, paying hundreds of dollars a night for these people, you know, to the cities are paying for these hotels. Now, I can't blame the hotel owners for taking that. That's guaranteed room use, guaranteed money. I don't blame them for it. I blame the government for that situation.
It was extremely gratifying to watch them, and they showed this morning on Fox and Friends a picture of them hosing the feces off the street. I thought, man, that makes me feel good. We have somebody coming from China. We're going to clean the crap off the streets.
Right.
But until then, and then Governor Newsom on the air talking about how important it is to put your best foot forward and what a gem San Francisco is. San Francisco is the armpit of the earth these days.
Right, and you know they do it for a communist dictator, but they don't do it for the American people and the, you know, that would be tourists in that city, because quite frankly I never plan on setting foot in San Francisco, let alone California, because of the way it's run. I just no desire, and it's the armpit of the world.
I think,
in my opinion,
I think Tony Bennett would be rolling in his grave.
But it was all done to present a false picture, you know, of an orderly city. Because, you know, the Chi-Com, they have orderly cities. They don't let that stuff happen.
That's true. They don't.
You know, so we can't show that. But, you know, the Chi-Coms know what's going on. It's on the news. They watch the American news. They know what's going on. Their embassy probably has thousands of pictures of it as their people travel the streets of San Francisco and whatever other cities in California. Take your pictures of this crap, so they can use it against the American government when they want to, and which they have shown that they would do when Blinken met with them up in Alaska. And Chi-Coms basically read him the Riot Act, called him a racist and everything else. You know, not, don't you talk to us about our human rights abuses when you have races and all that crap going on in your country. So, yeah, they use it to their advantage, and, you know, it's all just a waste of time.
Okay. Well, now, we do have a comment from EB, who is responding to what you said at the start. She said, let fake news stand. Know that Jonathan Carl said that quote came from someone who has not publicly criticized Trump before. Facts matter, Stan. Okay?
Okay, EB, if you say so. It's more fake news because they've been trying to destroy Trump for 6, 7, 8 years. You know, that's all the fake news has been trying to do. Sure, Trump's made mistakes. I don't disagree with that. But the crap that they've been trying to pull is just that crap. I say the other word, but you'd bleep me, so I won't waste my time. But we all know it. And anybody with any brains knows it. But I guess maybe E.B. is lacking there somewhere. So that's all I'm going to have to say. You have a great day.
Okay.
And just remember, the Chi-Com's like a clean city. Maybe that's what Newsom's going for. He's interviewing for a position in the Chi-Com Council. Have a great day.
I think it fit in. Thanks. Okay, Bill from Bloomsburg, you're on the mark this morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Your Honor. Your greatness. Hey, you got to keep in mind that these EB and all these sheep, right? They have a so-called sanctuary cities, and how did a sanctuary city come about? It's like, hey, we're going to be a sanctuary city. No, they're promised federal money. They get money from the taxpayers to take these people in. And they're all Democratic ran cities where they just want the dollars, and then they let their constituents live I don't want to say any bad words, but live in the worst conditions. And have to deal with this. What would happen if someone in your place defecated and constantly, you know, throughout your neighborhood and whatnot?
Well, if we saw them doing it, we'd have them arrested, and they would be arrested.
Amen. But see, these sanctuary cities, like, so they got to let them do it because the coup, they'll come in there and say, hey, we're going to take your funding away, and they kind of handicapped everything. You know, this is what you're going to be dealt with. This is the direction where we're going to go. We're going to trash this because we need these for the in the big picture, the votes, the electoral votes, and whatnot to stay in power. And we're going to do this because we're going to control this and control everything. And basically, that's all it's coming down to. They don't give a crap about nobody. Just like Hamas don't care about Palestine. When Hamas says about Palestine, it's like, we don't give a crap about our citizens. Their shields, the UK will take care of them. We're going to have our tunnels. We're going to bomb this. We're going to do this. We're a terroristic group. We don't care about nothing. And basically, the Democrats are doing the same thing with these cities.
Well, you know, but the fact is that the cities could do more to clean themselves up. I don't see how anybody benefits from allowing a city to exist in chaos with people defecating on the streets, sleeping on the streets, with tent cities on the streets. How does anybody benefit from that? But the problem is the cost of cleaning it up. I mean, once you let it get started, it gets way out of hand. I know even in Harrisburg they had an instance where people were living under the Mulberry Street Bridge. And they cleaned it up, yeah. Moved them out, cleaned it up, and then I guess they were letting them back in under certain conditions.
I'm glad you brought that up, Your Honor, because the big Los Angeles fire, that Route 10, they say that apparently just homeless people have been living under this bridge for like 40 years from what I saw on Fox News last night. I mean, there was, like, you know, because of heat and whatnot, there was old propane tanks and everything, and you could just imagine what was under there because you saw the magnitude of a fire under a highway. So the pile up and the debris that they were living there, and it was they're suggesting that it was propane tanks or anything that leaked and whatnot, you know, that helped fuel in this, and it was because of the homeless problem. And Newsom will not come out and say, well, you know, that all that garbage and all that crap that was there was because of our homeless issue, but they won't. But it's under investigation as arson. But how did the magnitude of that volume of crap and everything get there? Because the homelessness in the sanctuary cities.
Well, it is a problem, you know, and if they've allowed it to get out of hand, and so it's gotten out of hand. But the problem now is that who's going to clean it up and how do you clean it up? And if bad conditions attract people willing to live in bad conditions, where, as you pointed out at the start, where are you going to put them?
Hey, there was only one person that was willing to clean it up, and it was Make America First. And
but how was he going to do that? I don't recall Donald Trump saying he was going to clean up San Francisco, and he certainly didn't do anything about it.
It was putting Americans first, He was putting Americans first. Every state's responsible, but everything trickles down. When you get jobs and you get this and you get independent, you know, record everything. And like that, and then EB or whoever came out with this so-called book. You got to remember, the bought and paid for media. It's not fake news. It's bought and paid for media with a political narrative that they're going to run a story for 2 or 3 days. And why did they trickle that out? If you write a book, you don't trickle out one part of a book and then trickle out another part of a book and another part of a book. It's just that they got to pound the headlines in the national news for 2 or 3 days. It's all an objective to run his name in the ground. So they come out with maybe the first 2 chapters, run his name in the ground. They come out with 7 chapters, run his name in the ground. And they'll run this story for like a week and all. And it's all about taking this man down because he's exposing everything.
All right, but let's take a look at what they said. He lacks any shred of human decency, humility, or caring.
Listen, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. What do you think hair-sniffing, kid-sniffing Biden and money-taking family... stealing money and treason and how could you even put them in the same sentence? If you want to talk corruption, Biden by far supersedes the Trumpster a million trillion to nothing.
Well, I'm not saying that Trump that Biden is good. I'm questioning
Biden
whether or not. You know, you've got an interesting point, but I don't think that we make Trump any better by saying that Biden's worse. If they're both bad, and I believe they both are in many respects, I'm not saying there's not some good about Donald Trump.
I want someone to text in the top 5 things that they did for America.
Okay.
And open borders, how about she throw that in? How about inflation? We throw that in. How about taking away energy independence? We throw that in. I want the top 5 things. I don't want Mickey Mouse stuff. I want it. What did this man do for this country?
Okay,
back
for
out
it?
Of the Abraham records.
For it or to it? Listen, we have another call we have to take before we get a break. Thanks, thanks very much, Bill. Dan, I can give you 2 minutes right now, and then we have a guy from CBS coming on, Scott McFarland, to talk about the congressional federal shutdown.
Okay, good.
But then you can call back in more.
Okay, morning, Joe. Thank you. Why? The border situation is so much out of control. 2.5 million. Came across the border so far this year, and 169 known terrorists come across that border, plus people they don't know about that are probably in sleeper cells across this country. Then people try to come on the air and say how great this administration is under the honorable President Trump. We had none of these problems. He had the border pretty much under control, not 100%, but much, much, much better than it is now. And everything he did was for America, not for himself, but all for us. And the sad thing, MS-13, over 100, and some of them are in this country who Trump had the agents deported out of this country. Now there's a bunch of them back. They're real thugs. It's a crying shame what's being done to our country.
Okay, Dan, we'll have to hold you up there and call back after we have Scott McFarland on from CBS. We've got to talk a little bit this morning about the potential government shutdown and the plan in Washington and on some fallout from the political change in Joe Manchin. We'll do that after we hear...
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Shouldn't healthcare be simpler? It can be. Geisinger Gold Medicare Advantage plans offer convenient access to Geisinger providers, plus a network of 30,000 doctors and 180 hospitals across Pennsylvania, with no referrals required for any plan. Better health is easier with the right partner. Call 866-352-5055 to request your free 2024 Plan Highlights Guide today.
Geisinger Gold or HMO PPO and HMO D-SNP plans with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Geisinger Gold depends on contract renewal.
Don't let joint pain keep you stuck on life's sidelines. Let Sun Orthopedics of Evangelical help you start enjoying life again. You'll find the expertise to treat joint pain using both surgical and non-surgical options. As the most trusted name in orthopedics, they've helped thousands of people regain their mobility with stronger ankles, knees, shoulders, spines, and more. Don't let joint pain hold you back. Sun Orthopedics of Evangelical has all the care you need. Call 1-800-598-5096 or visit their website today. Sun Orthopedics of Evangelical. Find your freedom.
At Groninger Insurance in Northumberland, they want to thank all our military members for their selfless sacrifices, past, present, and future. The late Jim Groninger Sr. was a U.S. Army veteran who served in Germany in the late 60s, and his nephew, the late Chris Groninger, was awarded the Bronze Star in the Gulf War. Other family members who served our country were Richard Hummel, who was in the U.S. Army in World War II, his son Richard, and Joe Woodward. At Groninger Insurance, they're honored to say thank you for your service. Groninger Insurance, Northumberland, online at groningerinsurance.com.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. We're brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. On the phone with us right now is CBS correspondent, congressional correspondent Scott McFarland. Scott brings a wealth of experience to the Capitol Hill beat, having covered Washington and the federal government for nearly 20 years, and I bet he ain't seen nothing like what's going on now. Am I right about that, Scott, or am I wrong?
Oh, this is different. Not necessarily different good, but it's different.
Well, you know, we now have a new Speaker of the House, and as Casey Single used to say, it's deja vu all over again. Here we are with another looming financial disaster, another plan being put forward that may or may not and probably won't gain the support of some of his own party, the Republican Party. What's going on here?
It feels like we just talked about this.
We did.
we just talked about this a few weeks ago. So we have a House Speaker who's going to cut a deal with a large number of Democrats today to keep the government open for a few more weeks. That's what Kevin McCarthy did September 30th, and I call him Kevin McCarthy because he is no longer Speaker McCarthy. He lost his job because of that deal. Now, this new Speaker, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, is enjoying his honeymoon period. It's likely he'll be able to do this deal, enrage some members of his party, but keep his job. But he's only keeping the government open through January and February. One-third of the government stays open until January, and they have to do this again. The other two-thirds stays open until February, and they have to do this again. And it seems unlikely he's going to get the hall pass to cut a deal with Democrats when this new year begins. And I got to tell you, the risk of a protracted government shutdown grows by leaps and bounds come January.
Well, the Democrats aren't coming right out saying we won't consider this, I guess because he has tied or hasn't separated the military from the things they really care about. So he has a unified package that the Democrats could support, but the White House has signaled that they don't like this. So is it an exercise of futility?
No, I think the White House's voice is displeasure, but the White House hasn't used the word veto.
Okay.
And that's all Democrats need to have some latitude to get behind this thing. It really has very little for Democrats to object to. It keeps funding right where it is right now, the same type of funding they've approved in the past. It doesn't have any, you know, toxic or controversial policy changes they don't like. There's nothing to dislike other than the fact that the Speaker has employed this unique technique of splitting it in two pieces, one-third of the government through January, two-thirds of the government through February. They think that's a bit of a dangerous precedent. It's kind of sloppy because it could cause some disruptions in government if agencies who work together, some are open, some are closed, but beyond that, they don't hate the deal. And in modern-day Washington, if you don't hate something, it's got a great chance of passing.
Well, let me ask you this. What is the wisdom in separating these two or having this continue? Actually, what he's doing is making it twice as bad, it appears, that we're going to be going through this all the time from now on.
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, some of his Freedom Caucus, more conservative members, have advocated for this as a leverage tool. You get two bites at the apple now. You get two different chances to exert your leverage as one half of Congress and try to make change happen, try to get cuts to federal spending, try to get new policies in there, maybe fund that border wall again, maybe get some more tighter restrictions on abortion services or a immigration reform package in. The more different moments you can create on the calendar, the more leverage you give yourself. But the problem is they haven't used the leverage well this year. Every time they have one of these shutdowns, they cave, side with Democrats, and nothing changes.
Well, is the vote, and I guess this is procedural, is the vote going to be one motion to do both things, or are they going to vote separately on each of the proposed packages?
Now, it's one big fat package that sets up two future deadlines.
Okay.
So this package they're going to vote on today, likely around 4:30 p.m., would set a pair of deadlines. You got till January for one-third of the government, including transportation programs, agriculture programs, and the other two-thirds of the government, which includes military, would go through February. Putting the military second is important. Seems technical and small, but it's really important because nobody will ever let the military shut down. So putting that deadline second ensures that that second package doesn't get lost if there's a standoff on the first one. But this is going to have a little combination platter of votes. There'll be Republicans, including local Congressman Dan Muser, who say they're going to vote for this thing. There'll be Democrats, but that's exactly the chemistry that caused Kevin McCarthy to lose his job.
Well, how can this guy, how can Mike Johnson succeed at pulling this off when McCarthy couldn't?
Well, we'll see if he can. There's a question I keep asking folks around here, so it's a good question. I think he gets the hall pass now because he's only had the job 3 weeks. They realize they wasted half of the 6 weeks they had to cut this deal by arguing over who should be speaker. But I don't know how much latitude he gets in January or February. I'm not sure how much flexibility his Republicans give him in January or February. So I don't know how this plays out in January and February. Do we have a lengthy government shutdown because of a more inflexible Republican conference, a Democratic Senate, or do we have another run at the speaker that topples him?
Are we ever going to get back to business as usual, where we have a budget, where they debate it, and then they vote on it, and then we're set for a whole year without this continuing angst going on?
Well, you know who'd like to hear the answer to that question beyond just you and me is military families, federal workers, people who need their Social Security checks, people who need their Medicare payments and don't want to see disruptions in the federal government. Every time they set one of these short-term deadlines, they cause a level of angst among any number of Americans, and they're doing it again. Will they get back to traditional order? Yeah, but not in a divided Congress where Democrats control the Senate and Republicans control the House. I don't see either side working in concert with each other before the next election because, oh, by the way, they're running against each other in the next election.
Well, you know, back in the day, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill managed to come together and get things done. Is it the air of hostility that Trump engendered or that the Biden administration has come up with? Who's at fault here? Anybody?
Back in the day, music was better. Back in the day, I liked
right.
It was on TV better. Back in the day, lots of things were better. I just want to go out and say that. No, I think ultimately there's going to be some relationships that are forged between two parties to keep the blocking and tackling of government going, to keep the government open. I mean, it may not be happening openly, but there's obviously back-channel negotiations happening to make this type of thing happen today, where you need both parties to sign off, and you need a lot of them. So there is, you know, a meeting of the minds. It's just not happening openly and nakedly for everybody to see. And that may be a Trumpian thing, or I think more fairly, that may just be a modern politics thing, where it's too easy to get primaried or challenged by your hometown base if you're seen meeting with the enemy, your political enemy. And those types of meetings have to happen more covertly than they did back in the day when the music and TV were better.
Well, the Freedom Caucus is what, about eight Republicans that are likely to oppose this thing. How can they get that much power? Just because I know it's a close Congress in terms of numbers. But, I mean, how can they fight their own party?
But that's it. I mean, that's the thing. It's all a numbers game. The fact that there's a four-vote margin gives any faction of Republicans' power, outsized power. The Freedom Caucus tends to exert theirs in a very public way, I think potentially because they like the ability to get media attention and fundraise and galvanize off of it. But, for example, there are a bunch of freshman Republicans from New York in moderate blue districts that they won and swung. They have the ability to stop things in its tracks, and they have. Just this past week, they stopped the transportation bill because it cut funding or didn't robustly fund Amtrak and train service, which they need in New York. So they had veto power, but they don't thump their chests and proclaim it in front of Fox News cameras. The Freedom Caucus tends to. That's why you see, why do they have veto power? At this point, in a narrowly divided U.S. House, everybody who has an R next to their name has veto power.
Well, if they succeed in shutting down the government because they want these budget cuts and they want to roll back spending, and they stop this thing and we shut the government down, how do they benefit from that? How does anybody benefit from that?
They believe, potentially accurately, that some of their constituencies like that. They like the defiance of it. They like the Trumpian notion of going against power or taking it to those in Washington. And it may be a political winner for them back home, even though their constituents are going to take it on the chin. I mean, they're going to have disruptions in services. There are federal workers in every state in America. Every member of Congress represents federal workers who would go without paychecks, potentially not show up at their jobs because they're going without paychecks, and cause trouble for everything. So maybe this is an educational issue. You've got to educate the constituents a little better about the pain of a government shutdown. But they do believe, and again, potentially accurately, that it's a political winner back home. It galvanizes their base. They're doing their constituents' bidding. And that's a reality. And that also is, it makes for quite a game of chicken when one person in one of the cars thinks it's okay to crash.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the speed you're going at. At 5 miles an hour, you may be okay, but at 55, you may not be.
That's right.
Well,
switching
gears for a minute, Joe Manchin has said that he's not going to run for the Senate again. He hasn't ruled out running for something else, including presidency of the United States. What's been the impact of his decision not to run in a very tight Senate?
Not only have Democrats, you know, lost hope they're going to keep that West Virginia Senate seat, they have written it off. It is gone, and they know it. Joe Manchin was the only Democrat to win a ruby red state, and the only one who could compete. And even if he did run, it's going to be an uphill climb because the likely or potential Republican nominee is the very popular Republican governor of West Virginia, who is term limited, Jim Justice. They think it's gone. But here's the thing. They can lose only one seat and keep the majority. And if they're writing this one off, they've already hit the limit. And that's only if they keep the White House. They got to run the table in some tough races, not just Pennsylvania, but even harder ones, Ohio, Montana, Wisconsin. And they've got to do that also in Arizona, where they have a potential three-way race. So things are complicated. As for the White House, well, there's no good news there for the president. I mean, Joe Manchin just flirting with the idea of a third-party run, flirting with it, destabilizes things and erodes support for the president. If he were actually to get in the race, it could be cataclysmic for Joe Biden. There's no upside to any of it.
Would you think he would hurt Biden more than he would hurt the Republican nominee?
I think that's the conventional wisdom, and which is always dangerous to go with the conventional wisdom. But yeah, I mean, Joe Manchin is a Democrat, and he does have some votes in support of some high-level Democratic priorities. You can see it eroding support more from Biden than Trump, but it's just the fear of that is destabilizing. Does it cause, you know, does it cause some donors to hold back their money? Does it cause some supporters to hold back, you know, their rallying, their galvanizing, their campaigning? It's just, there's nothing but downside here for Joe Biden. I think the president and the White House recognize that. So this Joe Manchin resignation, or retirement, I should say, was no good at all.
Well, Manchin, you know, has played it a little close to the vest, and I guess he's been flirting with the no-name party. Who would be a vice presidential possibility in a ticket like that if it were to come about?
Yeah, the no-label party, I think, as
indicated,
no-label,
would
that's
like it.
To do. I think no-name in the 19th century? I think it was the no-nothings.
No-nothings, yeah. They were anti-immigrant, anti-Catholic. Hopefully they won't come
back. There it is. The history's lessons come back.
Right.
The no-label party has indicated they'd want one person from each side on a ticket, and that's just difficult because who gets the top bunk, who gets the bottom bunk if you do that? I think he likes... Joe Manchin is not a man who wants to sit back and go to the beach and just relax and read a book. He wants to stay active. He wants to be relevant. He wants to be in the conversation. Just flirting with this idea keeps him relevant, keeps the interview requests coming, keeps him talking about issues that are a priority to him. He said he'd run for West Virginia Senate if he believed he could win. I have to tell you, this cycle, this year, with that potential opposition, I'm not sure he could, even Joe Manchin could win West Virginia Senate seat. I think he realized.
Well, the talk I've heard was about Manchin and Mitt Romney.
Sure.
Is that...
Romney last night said that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Doesn't mean that that... We have that Larry Hogan, Republican governor of Maryland, who just left office because of term limits. Another possible name to throw out there, maybe a Chris Christie, but this all feels like fan fiction.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Just the talk of it is destabilizing for the White House. Just the idea of we need to have somebody else is destabilizing for Joe Biden. It's not a good thing.
Well, I'm sure you and I will be talking again in the future about this as it plays out, but for right now, the big events this afternoon, what, about 4 o'clock, you said?
4:30.
And will that be it? In other words, if it passes, that'll go on to the Senate, and then the president will get a chance to sign it or veto it, right?
Yeah, and the big breakthrough was the Democratic Senate leader, Chuck Schumer, has indicated his support. So there'll be no opposition in the Senate. And one peculiarity that's worth mentioning, Republicans blockaded this bill from its initial steps, so they have to do something funky. They've got to do a vote that gets two-thirds of the House to support it to circumvent all the amendments and changes Republicans want to make to their own bill. So they need 290 people to say yes, not 217.
Wow. That should be a make for an interesting afternoon for you, Scott. Hey, thanks so much for taking your time to be with us again today. I really appreciate that. Take care, sir.
Let's do it more often. You got it.
All right, sir. Take care. Thanks, Scott. All right, we are going to take a break, and we'll be back with Open Phones. That was Scott McFarland, CBS congressional correspondent. Always a wealth of information, always fun to talk to. And if you want to give us a call, talk about that or something else, why, we have our hotlines open, 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemarketwkok.com. Text us at 70236, but put OTM at the start of your message.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
me. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love 2 turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure, but why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Imagine, it's the final game of the season, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are making a comeback. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. We're brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. One of our texters says the Republicans always get blamed for shutdowns, but Dems say no to Ukraine funds, no deal. They put America last every time. Joe from Sunbury, you're on the mark this morning, sir.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Joe. I do really want to correct you on your failure. This morning and a couple of weeks ago, you keep quoting deja vu all over again to Satchel Paige.
No, Yogi. I didn't say. I said Yogi Berra. Go back and listen to the tape.
Oh, I'm sorry then. I thought you said, but the other week you did. And
no, believe me, I would never say Satchel Paige.
Good. I'm glad that yeah, it is Yogi. Anyhow, let's. I wanted to comment on EB's email also.
Okay.
And. The whole gist of it, I understand trying to humiliate Trump, or I'm not even sure what word. That was a lot of stuff in there. And, I mean, that's worse than humiliation. But anyone who puts any stock into a quote that's anonymous in a book like that, that's anonymous, right? We didn't really know who said this. In this book about Donald Trump and his administration, because Stan said it was someone, then she said no, it wasn't that person.
Right.
Okay, so we don't know who it was, but anyone who put stock in that, in a pre-sale quote, I mean, the publishers are out to sell books, and they put some salacious stuff out there, we all know that, right? But for anyone to put stock in an anonymous quote like that in a book is really pretty simple-minded. How would you even put that on an email and put it out there with any confidence that anybody would think, have any respect for EB, which is, I do understand that's extremely biased. I don't know if that's what you had called her or if I heard it somewhere else. But I would ask her then if she thinks that she is we did find out that it's a woman, EB.
Right, EB is a woman.
So if she wanted to be a fair judge of Donald Trump, there's a book out by another person that was in the administration, General Keith Kellogg. I don't know if you're not really known that much because he doesn't get on TV like people who will degrade Donald Trump. That's money in the bank for CNN and MSNBC. So he wrote a book called War by Another Means. So if she would like to read that, I'm not saying she even read. Going to read this book that I don't know who wrote it.
It was written by ABC News reporter Jonathan Carl.
Oh, good. Yeah, there's some solid background for a fair and evaluation of a presidential administration that, well, whatever, if you think that they like them or not. But one thing I would like to say, if you go back to the pre-election of Donald Trump in 2015. I don't know if you've heard this or not. It's been my man in Madrid has often said this, that in Washington, D.C., before Trump was elected, but they knew he was going to be elected, the word went out, if you work for the Trump administration, your political career is over. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't, to be honest with you.
Well, do you think that would make sense for the political... we'll call it swamp or the deep state or the, what's the other word for, the unelected bureaucrats down there, right? Have one of one of the richest cities in the nation, right? So does that make sense that would, they knew what Trump was going to do and what he was going to be, kind of?
Well, you know, I think that there was so much hatred for Donald Trump going in. I'll be honest with you. I'm not wild about the guy, as I think I made clear here in this show. I don't know that I subscribe to the harsh, all the terribly harsh things said about him in this Jonathan Carl book. But, you know, he hasn't exactly shown himself to be someone who can think about themselves in terms of maybe I should have done that better, maybe I could have been a better person about that. I mean, he just... comes at you hammer and tong.
Right, which we've went over that, but I'm trying to break into a new subject here. If you heard, which I'm not sure how much, I know you watch the news and you have Penn Live and that, you like that stuff and you watch MSNBC. But if
and
you
I
heard
watch Fox and CNN too.
Of anybody, and that's why it was hard for him. He went out and got his friends, more or less, right, to be in the administration, like millionaires. Oh, well, why is Donald Trump bringing in all these millionaires, you know, and these big businessmen? People knew that their political careers, look what they did to the people that had to go in front of the January 6th. They were all administration employees, right? And they humiliated, they made them, well, I'll say they didn't force them, actually, to say, but there are cases where the FBI comes in and, well, you better say this, or if you say this, you'll get a lot better treatment. So do you have a feeling that that would be a truthful statement, that there was an undertow or an idea that for the people that were established or starting to get established, that they would have no political career
but left? But if you want to accept that this is a bad quote, if you want to accept that, then what do you make of the words coming out of Donald Trump's own mouth? I am your justice. I am your retribution. He talked to Univision, talking about his enemies, for instance. He told Univision in an interview last week that the Biden administration had released the genie out of the box. In New Hampshire on Saturday, he warned, they did it to me. Now I'll do it to them.
Right. Okay. I get the idea. I have never endorsed Donald Trump as a political speaker. And that, I don't think he's, people love him. I don't. I think he, but that's what makes him attractive to other people. Now, those extremes that you're talking about right now, such as, you know, the retribution and stuff like that, that's not for really a political play. If you want to be a political player, you do like all the other politicians, is play the middle ground, and you don't really let your know the voters what you really think. But if you like the idea, which I liked most of Donald Trump's, he said what he is, you know what he is. It's not like Joe Biden, who says that he's a family strong church going Catholic like you, who believes in abortion or believes in certain, you know, that you can have your idea against the church on abortion, like we've talked about yesterday.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, you've got a point. And I just think that Donald Trump, when the man says that he's going to get his enemies, that makes it his primary goal for seeking the office again is to get retribution.
I'm saying that man is not he's not a politician. Never said that. Never will say that. He says what and that gives the people an honest look at him, unlike what we had at Joe Biden, right?
Yep.
We didn't have an honest look and know all this about the laptop and all the connections with foreign governments bringing or sending money through 20 LLCs, and that we didn't have a good look at that.
No.
Even other things that the campaign from the basement, that wasn't. That's politics, baby. You
Amen.
Know,
hey, we got to take a break here, Joe. I'm sorry. We got to take a break. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate talking to you. 570-743-9565. We got time for maybe a call or two after we take our final break of the day.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door
and some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Today on Hey Culligan, why does your team stink? Here's Coach Waters.
Hey Culligan. Yeah, my team stinks.
Ooh, harsh.
No. I mean, they stink. They won't hit the showers because it makes their skin all dry and itchy.
Coach, it sounds like your guys have been hit hard by hard water.
You kidding me? Hard water?
Yep, so let's call in Audible in the form of one Culligan Smart High Efficiency Water Softener to get the smooth back in their skin and the stink out of your team.
Okay, Culligan, I'm putting you in.
Coach, we're already on the way.
Kick things off with a free in-home water test from a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Call Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania today for all your water treatment needs and set up a free in-home water test with a water professional that knows the water where you live. Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-788-1978. That's 1-800-788-1978. Or visit them online at callculligan.com. That website again is callculligan.com. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Who doesn't need to save money on their grocery bill? Hi, this is Justin Michaels of Surplus Outlet, and I invite you to come explore the many grocery items at below wholesale prices at Surplus Outlet. If you haven't checked out your local Surplus Outlet, you're missing out on the savings that could go right back into your pocket. Surplus Outlet carries the same items as the big box stores, but with greater savings. I encourage you to stop in today to Surplus Outlet to see for yourself the great selection of paper products, pet food, cleaning supplies, health and beauty items that go along with your everyday groceries. The cashier will be sure to do the checkout for you and bag your groceries when you're done. The winter weather is upon us, and Surplus Outlet has you covered with rock salt and windshield washer fluid to help fight the inclement weather. Surplus Outlet has a great selection of national brand coffees, teas, hot chocolate, and soups to keep you warm. The prices are always hot at Surplus Outlet, so stop in today to help beat the winter weather.
Surplus Outlet has two great locations, Route 11 Northumberland and Route 15 Montgomery. Surplus Outlet is open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m., and closed on Sundays. Be sure to follow and like Surplus Outlet on Facebook at Surplus Outlet Grocery Stores for special deal notifications. Do it today.
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer sweeper makes it easy. Swiffer heavy-duty dry cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Swiffer takes care of his too. Now the hair's gone, all thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper heavy-duty dry cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
Welcome back to On the Mark. 570-743-9565 is our hotline number. We'd have time for a quick call, but we do have some emails and some text to cover here this morning. One of our emailers says, I'm listening to your show this morning, here shaking my head at the same old lovers of Donald Trump. Have any of you listened to Trump's latest campaign spew? He ranted about how he is going after his enemies. Is any of that part of your governing for the betterment of the country? You Republicans better wake up. We will be living under a dictatorship. Donald Trump should not have the privilege of ever stepping one foot into the White House again. I, for one, will never, never, ever give a vote to a Republican. As for EB, keep it up. You are the only one making any sense. That Dan from New Berlin calls himself Christian, and Dan is a Christian, by the way. You are not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Well, which one are you reading? Just out of curiosity, if you're throwing stones at Dan, tell us which one you're reading and where he differs from what you're saying. Look, Donald Trump has given us a lot of reason to be concerned, I think, about how he would behave in a second term. His own words are troubling to me, that he is our vindication, he is our retribution. Do we need retribution? I mean, he just still can't get past the last election. He believes it was stolen from him. I don't doubt that he believes it. But, you know, there's been so much evidence that people in the White House, and I didn't get to it this morning, but there was a great cut for revelations yesterday from ABC News, whether you want to believe them or not, talking about how Trump has said, you know, that he was not going to leave the White House. You know, he's so convinced he lost the election or won the election, even though there was demonstrable proof that people around him, his attorneys, were saying, no, Donald, no, Mr. President, you lost the election. You lost. And he was actually saying that he wasn't going to leave the White House. That is scary, folks. That's not the way. That's a banana republic. That's not the United States of America. Now, if he was just kidding or if he was just, you know, trying to shake things up, well, then I think he needs to explain himself, quite frankly. That's all the time we've got today. We're going to be back tomorrow. Do it all over again. Brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. This is WKOK, Sunbury, Pennsylvania.